international finance, markets, crisis and the law. We want to understand the recent changes, developments, trends in the key international markets and how this fits together and how this operates in practice. What we can understand is this, what we can see is this. We have a global economy, we have a single international global financial marketplace. Within this we effectively have three worlds. We have the global traditional mercantile economy with the goods and services that we normally sell. Around that we have constructed a financial economy, a separate financial system, international financial system, and then again we have the new digital and crypto world that we're already building and extending at this time. So we've now got two and then three financial worlds. Within this we have the banking markets, primary and secondary markets, we have the euro dollar markets, we have the capital markets, bonds, notes and paper, structured finance, financial derivatives, insurance markets and gold. We can understand the basic values within each of these markets as well. So coinage and banknotes, it was about 4.67 trillion. That figure has now been increased to, I think it's $5.8 trillion. Bank accounts, around $90 trillion. Total financial assets, bank financial assets in the world are $180 trillion. Equity trading was $37 trillion. That's now $124.4 trillion. Foreign exchange, it was $5.2 trillion, $6 trillion. It's now $6.6 trillion, moves around the world every day. The total foreign exchange market, I believe, is worth something like, I think it's $2.3 quadrillion. Absolutely astonishing amounts of money. Debt market was $129 trillion, it's now $130 trillion. Securitization, $1.6 trillion. Financial derivatives, the peak of the market was $700 trillion. It's now around $640 trillion. Insurance, $5.5 trillion in premium every year. Shipping markets are worth $14 trillion. Gold markets worth $11.12 trillion. Silver markets worth around $5 trillion. This is the wealth of the world. How does it add up? Currently, about $431 trillion in total. $250 trillion in financial assets, $235 in other real assets. That will be, by 2025, $245 trillion. That's how rich the world is. That is total global wealth stock. That will comprise $315 trillion of financial assets, $296 in other real assets, including land. There's a figure of $67 trillion liability. I've seen other figures as high as $281 trillion liability. Even if we deduct one from the other, the assets from the liabilities, total global wealth stock is anywhere between $150 and $350 trillion. That's the total wealth we've created as a civilization during the, what we call historically, the anthropogenic period. All I've simply done in this table is just expand some of the debt figures. Total United States debt is around $30.1 trillion. When will the Americans pay that off? They probably won't ever in history. All that happens in these markets is that governments borrow, they draw down, they'll repay, and then they'll just roll the debt over again on a continuous basis. It might be 5-year debt, it might be 10-year, it might be 20-year, but governments just repay and then they just roll it over and draw it down again and again and again and again. All that's happened is that with the capital markets, the durations have become shorter. So you go from borrowing $100 million for 20 years, you borrow it on a 10, 5-year, even 1-year basis now. You just borrow smaller amounts, but you roll them over more frequently, but it's the same total amount of debt stock. But the total global debt is astonishing. China total debt stock is around $40 trillion. The total real estate market in China is $53 trillion. as against a $12 trillion market in the United States. Absolutely astonishing. And a lot of that could collapse. For example, with Evergrande, you've heard of Evergrande, was the second largest property developer in China. At one point, the largest property asset holder in the world. It's now left with around $300 billion debt that it can't recycle and it can't refund. This could lead to an implosion on the Chinese property market worth $53 trillion, with the government and other public authorities having a separate $40 trillion in debt. The markets raise so much funds, but they also create so much debt levels if we are not careful, if we do not manage this. Could we have another financial crisis? Historic high levels of debt. Rising inflation rates are very dangerous now, in particular because the American authorities will push this to the limit. They've already made clear, Jerome Powell, the Secretary of State, and Chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, and then Janet Yellen, the Secretary of State, have clearly indicated they will push interest rates up in America to whatever level to control inflation. The same thing happened in the 1980s. Paul Volcker, who was 1927 to 1999, died in 1999, was the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board between 1979 and 1987. In 1981, he raised interest rates in America to 20%. We are very concerned America might do the same. Because what that's going to do is it's going to make dollar assets very attractive. All the money will move into dollar assets, treasury bills, or dollar currency. It will also push interest rates all across the world. We've got massive difficulties just now because of commodity prices and energy prices. Everywhere in the world wants to reduce interest rates, but the Americans are going to force this up. And they could force it up to 20% as they did in 1981-82. We're heading through a very difficult period. And how did all of this start? Where did it all begin? Because of the Russian invasion of Ukraine on 24th February 2002. Because that made oil prices and energy prices rocket. All other commodity prices then went up very significantly. And it's caused all of the problems that we are now facing. It could take 5 to 10 years for this to correct itself. These are very difficult times. We also have to absorb coronavirus costs, climate costs, and future possible technology costs. I mentioned Chinese Evergrande, $310 billion. China real estate, $52 to $55 trillion. The US commercial real estate market has already collapsed by 70% in value, and we have massive increase in UK and EU gas and energy prices. The main big issue is confidence and causation. Complex causation and emergence. One small bit of instability in any market, in any part of the world, can create difficulties, ripples, damage anywhere else. We see how sensitive markets are because of what happened with the mini budget that was announced by the new Tory Prime Minister, Elizabeth Truss, and her Chancellor, Kwasi Kwarteng. That created massive instability in the markets. A massive overreaction. It wasn't necessary, but now that it's occurred, it's going to be very difficult to get these yield prices and the markets back into some stable figure. It didn't have to happen, it just happened simply because markets are so nervous just now. In terms of value, a year ago, the S&P in America, the main stock market, was worth 4,350. Dow Jones, 44,000. The Nasdaq was up about 15,000. UK FT 7,000. Hong Kong Hang Seng 24,000. Shanghai Composite 3,500. US 10-year bond. Americans were paying 1.47 to borrow. German 10-year bond 0.23%. The Japanese 10-year bond 0.04%. Britain was paying 1%, 100 basis points to borrow on a 10-year basis last summer. Dollar sterling, you have to watch currencies. You've got dollar sterling and sterling dollar. Dollar sterling is not the same as sterling dollar. That seems very low. Sterling dollar was about 1.36. It then went down to 1.14. It has been as low as 1.36. It's now back about 1.11, 1.10. Dollar yen, 6.45. Dollar euro, 0.86. Dollar yen, 110. The VIX index, is a measure of nervousness in the markets. It basically uses the option prices on the Chicago Options Board of Trade, and it looks at a 30-day expectation of how the markets will move. The VIX was as low as 19.45 a year ago. Today, it's about 35, rising fast. That means markets are very, very nervous. Brent crude was $78. It's now about 88, 90. And because of what's happened in Saudi Arabia, we're expecting that to be pushed up to $100. What happened was with the petrodollar system, there was a rapprochement created between America and Saudi Arabia, 1937, restoration of diplomatic relations. There was a pact entered into in 1955, which was a security pact whereby America would defend Saudi Arabia. What then happened was we created the petrodollar system in 1973 when Saudi Arabia agreed to have all oil prices paid and denominated in dollars, which then spread to all of the other Middle Eastern countries. So by 1973, all of the oil contracts were denominated in dollars. The problem is, as of 2 weeks ago, Saudi Arabia has decided it doesn't want to basically follow America now. It doesn't want to do what the Treasury has told it to do. It wants a different set of monetary policies as America's raising its interest rates. So we've got the beginning of a new oil war as of 2 weeks ago. For 50 years, Saudi Arabia basically followed America and American policy more generally. But through OPEC, Saudi Arabia has now said it's going to cut dollar production by $2 million a day, which is 2% of global production. Why? To push dollar oil values back up over 100, because they want the income. And this is going to cause massive problems all around the rest of the world. Gold was at 1.7 per troy ounce, silver was at 727 per kilo. At the beginning of this summer, we can begin to see how these have already started to move. So S&P was actually slightly down 249. Dow Jones slightly up. NASDAQ, that's not quite the right figure. It was dropping. The FT 100 was up. Hang Seng was down. And the Shanghai was done. But more importantly, we can see the bond yields. UK bonds had gone from 1 in 12 months up to 198. US 10-year had gone from 147 to 283. Japanese hardly moved. German bonds, 0.26, doubled up to 0.46. Currencies had started to reset because the dollar's going up in value, which pushes all the value of the other currencies around. One of the key rates is what we call the cable rate. The rate between dollar sterling is called the cable rate. So when people talk about the rate or the cable rate, that's dollar sterling. So that had already gone from 1.3736 down to 1.16. And then gas had increased substantially, 8.83. Dollar oil was going up to $92. Gold had gone down from 1.7 trillion to 1.4. And then silver was down again. What's happened more recently? We can see these figures again. All of the equity markets are going down in value. All of the yields are going up very substantially. I've actually got a separate set of figures on today's prices. We can actually see this go up even further simply because of the instability in the markets at this time. We have got massive sensitivity in the international markets. The UK 10-year bond had gone from 1 up to 198 and then 4.14. Today it's 4.58. The US 10-year bond, 2.81 up to 4.21. Today it's 4.27, slightly down. These are astonishing figures. But we can see the instability in the largest markets in the world. Brent crude has gone from 78 up to 92, it's actually down to 89. but we're expecting these cuts in production to push that back up to 100 by the end of the year. And that's going to cause very significant difficulties across the world, and especially as we separate, we break this linkage between Saudi Arabia and America, we could actually see a dollar crisis next year. This could be the beginning of very major instability. And if we attribute the origins of all of this to Russia and to President Vladimir Putin, he will be delighted if he actually forces a dollar crisis and other countries in the world to come off dollar standards and the importance of the dollar system. On the system, I've given you three articles which were very good at explaining the background to dollar, rise of the dollar, importance of oil markets, and the importance of the dollar as an international reserve currency. I've also given you, with that, my own short review. It's only one page front and back. I call this Coffee Law, which summarises a lot of the key issues. I'll mark this up and put a slightly revised version on as well to show all these other more recent figures. But with this, we can just see how sensitive and how markets are moving at this time. You'll see the VIX specifically. It went up from, 19 to 31. I think the VIX is now up at something like 34. That shows just how nervous markets are and how they're expecting further instability going forward. We can summarise the international financial system through a series of key points. Post-war period, cross-border expansion, development of computer hardware and software, telecommunications, complex groups construction, legal deregulation. We had growth in securitisation markets in the 1970s, disintermediation in the 1980s, product innovation repackaging in the 1990s. The privatisation of markets as we moved a lot of finance off formal stock markets to private markets, because then they were less regulated, so we could have more innovation and more growth. And then a larger deconstruction of risk. Risk has become a very sophisticated idea that our ability to manage it is much more complex, much more effective than ever before. In terms of effects, market consolidation, market concentration, market innovation, market integration, market aggregation. I then summarised the key developments again after the coronavirus crisis: market contraction and restructuring, decrease in competition and profitability. We're now moving from quantitative easing to quantitative tightening. We had very relaxed monetary policy for 12, 14 years. We're now heading for very tight monetary policy for the next 5 to 10 years. With market criticism and a significant degree of over-regulation, but then market reaction and some areas of deregulation, but still continued innovation, growth, and evolution and change. What did the global financial crisis cost? Anything between 12, 14, and $16 trillion. What did the coronavirus crisis cost? About $14, $16 trillion again. What's the big problem going forward? The big issue going forward is going to be variance. I've only summarised a small number of the key coronavirus variants that we're looking at. We've got alpha, beta, the gamma, the delta, but we've also got theta, kappa, iota, zeta. We have the mu and the lambda. These are all spreading around the world. This could be very significant. Again, it could come back. We have to watch this. And then again, climate crisis. What are the costs of climate adaptation? It could cost America at least $2 trillion a year. Europe, 4% of GDP. Total cost could be $4.5 trillion, rising to anything between $300 billion and $50 trillion if we cannot manage this. We are heading for further instability, insecurity, volatility, disturbance in the markets. And we have to watch all of this going forward. We have massive new opportunity. We have new responsibility. We have to protect our collective benefit, collective value, collective future. Markets are going to go through a very significant, strenuous period of instability. We have to watch and manage this going forward. We have to be careful, adopt appropriate policies, and try to ensure we can also maintain wider geopolitical stability at the same time as dealing with these larger areas and instances of exogenous risk, including climate, geopolitics, warfare, and future technology.